Dave and Tom will do their best to address your questions in upcoming programs. Stay tuned and we'll let you know where to send them. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Many of you are concerned about the deception that abounds everywhere, especially within the church. As we strive to ensure that the truth is being presented to ourselves and our families, we must remember that the stakes are very high, the eternal salvation of souls. That salvation was earned for us on Calvary's cross. This pivotal event in the history of mankind is the focal point of today's address on the subject of salvation. We proceed with that continuing series now in our segment, Understanding the Scriptures. Again, along with Dave Hunt, here's T.A. McMahon.
In this segment called Understanding the Scriptures, we've been looking at the doctrine of salvation, a foundational doctrine to what we're all about as Christians. And I think it's been really informative. I'm just listening to you, Dave, about some of these things. It's just really blessed me, and I hope our listeners are blessed as well. What I'd like to talk about today really has to do with the death of Christ, what that means. And maybe for this program and the next program, I'd like to go over Isaiah 53. I mean, the entire chapter, the passage here, just underscores what Christ did. I mean, we're talking about the Son of God here. You know, as Charles Wesley wrote, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die for me?" And in this passage, these passages, it's staggering. Dave, I'm just going to take it verse by verse, and maybe we can comment on it. It begins, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." Dave, who's the scripture talking about?
Well, it's talking about the servant from verse 13 of the previous chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, the Bible is so fantastic. Who hath believed our report? Yeah, who has? And, of course, the report is all about Jesus, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1. This is the gospel of God that he promised before by his prophets, the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So this is who he's talking about. Who has believed that? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, we're talking about God's power and majesty. People want some kind of a physical miracle, a healing or whatever. The greatest miracle is to forgive sins, to transform a sinner into a saint. And so, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, where is his strength? And where does this salvation come from? Well, it comes in a person. He shall grow up before him, that is, God, the Father, the Son, grows up before the Father. And so you hear the voice at the baptism of Jesus, a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son,
right,
in whom I am well pleased." As a root out of a dry ground, Israel was dry. Israel was dead. God had not spoken to them. The last thing God had said to Israel was through Malachi, the prophet.
Right. Some 400 years.
Yeah, God said, "You despise my name, you pollute my altar, you offer unacceptable sacrifices." Israel had turned so far away from God, they were in apostasy, and suddenly out of this dry ground comes this one. This next thing is so often misunderstood, I think. "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." It doesn't mean that Jesus was ugly. Jesus, in fact, was the handsomest man that ever lived. He was perfect. He had to be perfection. He's the perfect man. It's sin that brings a blight and blemish upon mankind.
Mm-hmm.
He's the last Adam. He's like Adam, created fresh in the virgin's womb by the hand of God, as Adam was created in the garden. So how do we understand this? If we would just turn real fast,
mm-hmm,
to...
And I hope people who have their Bibles at home, especially for this segment of the program, I hope they will search the scriptures with us.
1 Samuel 16. David is a wonderful type of Christ. He's a king. In this chapter, he's despised by his brothers. He is so despised, even by his father, apparently, that he gives him the most menial tasks, taking care of the sheep out there. Nobody else wants to do it. And yet David is so humble, he's willing to do it. And he is considered to be of so worthless that when Samuel comes to Bethlehem and he tells Jesse, I want your sons to come. We're going to have a feast. Bring all your sons. Jesse doesn't even bring David. Mm-hmm. Because God has told Samuel that one of Jesse's sons is to be the king. And he has his sons pass before him. They're very handsome, strong guys. But each one, God says to the prophet Samuel, this is not the one. And they've all passed before him. Seven of them. And Samuel is...
He's perplexed.
He's perplexed. He's confused. Mm-hmm. None of them, God, but you sent me here. So then he says, well, is it possible you have another son? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's out there with the sheep. Bring him. Okay, so he anoints him. God says, this is the one. Now, what I find so interesting is verse 18. Now, you know the story. Saul, he's got problems, and they want to find somebody that can play a harp and calm his spirit and so forth. So they're looking in Israel to find one. Now, here's one man. This is a picture of the insight of the Holy Spirit, seeing not as the flesh sees, but as God sees. Then answered one of the servants, one of Saul's servants, said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. He's the greatest harpist in Israel. He is a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. Look, you get your Sunday school materials. You got little skinny teenager, scrawny David. No, Saul gives him his armor. It says that Saul was head and shoulders above Israel. Well, then David must have been as tall as he was. And every bit as strong as Saul, because it wasn't that his armor... David doesn't say, an armor doesn't fit me. Mm-hmm. And Saul wouldn't have given it to him if it didn't fit. No, it fits. But he's never used this kind of stuff. He hasn't proved it, and he doesn't trust in it. He trusts in God. But anyway, he's a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, a comely person. He's handsome. And the Lord is with him. Now, you couldn't say more about a person than that. Mm-hmm. And yet David is despised. See, so I think that's how we understand what it says about Jesus. He was not voted most likely to succeed in the graduating high school class there in Nazareth because he was despised by people. This is the Creator. He's manifesting the very character of God, the love, the patience, the holiness, the qualities of God himself, and man who's separated from God hates him, rebels against him. In my understanding, that's how we would understand this. And in fact, Tom, as you know, a battle breaks out with the Philistines. Saul sends David back. This is the greatest warrior in Israel. This is the guy who can conquer Goliath, and he's not afraid of him. Everybody else is. Saul sends him back. Because he doesn't think the guy is capable of being his armor bearer. Tom, there is a blindness to the things of God, a blindness to the truth, a blindness to the real beauty of a godly character that blinds people to everything else. And I think that's the only way we can understand this verse. There's no beauty that we should desire him. We creatures separated from God, we don't desire him, but he is desirable to God, and he is the perfect man.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I'm excited about this opportunity to go through Isaiah, and I hope our listeners, I hope they invite their friends to sit in and listen and write to us. Let us know your thoughts about these things. But it's a wonderful opportunity to go through God's Word. We're going to do this. We're going to stay with chapter 53 for the next week or two. and I think they'll be blessed. I know they'll be blessed.
We hope you can join us again next week as Dave and Tom resume their discussion of salvation. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Our ministry makes available a wide selection of teaching materials, including books, tapes, CD-ROM, the Internet, and others. This week, we feature teaching treasures from the 20th century prophet A.W. Tozer. Much of what contemporary audiences know about Tozer has been acquired through the legacy of his more than 40 books. But now, recorded live from the pulpit of Southside Alliance Church in Chicago, comes this two-volume series of sermons designed to promote personal heart religion among God's people and to encourage plain persons to think more accurately of Him. This is Pulpit Tozer at his best, his presence, passion, and power. Entitled The Attributes of God, the series consists of 10 messages, 5 in each volume, plus a free sampler cassette with biographical information and excerpts from Tozer's writings. In a moment, we'll let you know how to order these and other materials, as well as a subscription to our free monthly newsletter. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0639, and please mention the call letters of this station. Next week, Dave and Tom will pick up their study of the occult invasion with a focus on native, indigenous, and nature religions, and will continue their fascinating dialogue on the topic of God's salvation. Can a shaman help old Shep? Dave and Tom will look at that topic and examine the question, was Jesus a teenage guru? Please make plans to join us. I'm Gary Carmichael, and on behalf of Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you back again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures Daily, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.